You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak Now. I have some tragic news for you if you're a Lakers fan. The series, it is officially over. And here is why, because I was given a whole bunch of reasons why the Lakers would win this series. The first one was, well, y'all, AD's gonna ball out. Well, AD, he's had 32 points in the first game and the second game. But family, you wanna know what happened? Lost. And then they said, look, LeBron, he's good for at least one game. He's good for at least one win. Well, LeBron, he's at 26. He's at 26. You wanna know what happened? Lord. Then they said, hey, Acho, as long as D-Lo gets hot. Well, D-Lo went 7 for 11 from 3, playoff career high. You want to know what happened? Lost. And lastly, they tried to tell me that the Nuggets, there's no way. There is no way that the Nuggets will win 10 straight. Well, the Nuggets, they officially did, and we all saw what happened. Another freaking loss. So what will they tell you and me next? I don't know. All I know is this much. Gonna result in the law. Teddy, why are you making so much noise over there? Why are you making so much noise?
Oh, the sound effects.
Like, can you be an adult?
No, you was making some good points. I want to big you up.
Can you?
So you remember, like,
family, this is my long lost friend, LeSean Shady McCoy, Eagles all time rushing leader, a man who needs no introduction. On the far end, that is James Jones. James, I see you got the monochromatic memo. You look good,
what's
sir.
Cracking,
you do,
man.
In fact, look good. Joy Taylor, how are we?
I'm good.
Joy is good. All right, family, this is Speak. James, you already know where I stand on the matter. The Lakers, the series is over. I don't think the series ever actually begun. I think it was DOA. The series was dead upon arrival. But, James, you said that the Lakers would win in 6, which now means they have to win 4 straight and you will still be right.
Yeah, yeah.
But is the series officially over?
Anything is possible, man. It's over. This series here is over. And the reason why is, remember yesterday I came on the show and I said, I'm not ready to count the Lakers out because they did not play their best. And I think if D'Lo would have had the game he had in game 1, they win that game. And I came on there and I said, if D'Lo shows up, they're going to be just fine. Well, D'Lo did show up.
He did.
He did show up, and he had a really good game. And I know everybody's like, Austin Reeves, 9 points. Well, everybody ain't going to have 25. Everybody ain't going to have 30, right? It's only one basketball to go around for everybody to get buckets. Yesterday, watching that game, I felt like that was the Lakers' best game. I felt like that was their best punch, and they threw it. You were up 20 points in that ball game, and you still found a way to lose. Are the Nuggets still found a way to win? I don't know if the Lakers have a better punch than that. And if they do, it might be for one game. But they are definitely not winning 4 out of the next 5 games against the Denver Nuggets. And that's why I'm saying this series here is over. They possibly could win 1. They possibly could win 2. But they are not winning 4 out of the last 5. And watching the game, I'm like, this was their time. This was their best punch, and they threw it. Ooh. And the Nuggets said, it ain't good enough. Take this loss with you. Down 20. Game over. Mm. Murray called it as he shot that thing over AD.
Louses.
Bucket. Loss.
Joy, you think the series is officially over?
So brutal. Such a brutal
We've turned
loss.
James Jones. I have turned James Jones. I
no,
have turned.
The Lakers. Not I show the Lakers. Turn James Jones, me watching the Lakers game.
I mean, it's so frustrating because it was right there. It was right there.
Man.
But no, I'm not going to say it's officially over. You know, I like to be technical. Officially, it is not over.
It's 5 games left.
Now they're going home. I know. It's a big task. But even though D'Lo showed up and was great, and LeBron was great, and AD was great through 3 quarters, they still didn't play the game that they needed to play.
No.
You still needed more from the bench.
True.
You still needed more from Austin Reeves. You still needed more. You needed more from AD in the 4th. So I don't even know if I can look at that game, even though they were up, 23 points at one point?
23.
And blew that. I don't look at this game as the best game the Lakers could play. How about you hold on to the lead? How about you not go 10 straight possessions in the third or 8 straight possessions without scoring? How about you not disappear in the fourth quarter? There are 4 quarters of play. We talk about, like, first half performances all the time, what somebody looked like 2-3 quarters. What does that matter? If you lost the game, you didn't play the game you needed to play. So there's a fourth quarter. That counts. Someone say it means the most. It's whoever's at, at the end of that one is over.
We do
four is up, okay? So I can't really even look at this game as the best game that the Lakers have played because there were still gaps. Everyone did not play their best game. AD did not finish the game the way that he played the rest of the game. And look, they had an opportunity to take advantage of what through most of the 4 quarters was a bad performance by the Nuggets.
Yep.
But they're the Nuggets. They're going to make a push. They're the defending champs for a reason. They're the best team in the league for a reason. You thought they were just going to chill and they're at home? You get a little momentum going, the crowd's involved. So, no, I can't look at this game and say that this was the best game that the Lakers could possibly play. I don't think it was overall, holistically, the best game they played. It's there were still pieces that needed to be picked up. There was still effort that needed to be made. It was a brutal, brutal loss because you felt like they were in control for most of the game and they had an opportunity and it slipped away from them. But I can't say this is the best game the Lakers could play.
You think the Lakers still have a chance?
I mean, they're going home now. Now, I think this next game is a must-win game.
But you're literal. You're literal, and technically it's not a must-win.
Okay.
But not by Joy standards.
I think it is as close to as a literal must-win game as I will allow the words to say. They got to win this next game.
2-5, where you stand on the matter, big dog? Is the series over?
No.
No.
And you know what's more surprising about y'all reaction is, watching this game, y'all think the Lakers is done?
Yeah.
How do you feel like that?
Let me explain why. Let him talk. I'm listening.
So if you watch the game, which I know you guys did, right? Because we were texting through the whole time. I was excited the way the Lakers played. They came out. A lot of their role players played well in the beginning, right? You look at how AD came on balled out, right? You look at how D-Lo. Everybody talked about how he would shoot. He's been playing efficiently all year. He did the same thing in the beginning of the game, right? Then as the issues occurred was when I watched the third quarter when they couldn't add 5 or 6 minutes where they couldn't score at all.
Yep.
So when the Nuggets couldn't score, right, y'all couldn't score. That's when you make the lead even bigger, and they couldn't do it. That's when the Nuggets made that big run. Anthony Davis. Jokic is supposed to be the best player on the court. That's what they told me.
That's what he said.
He was getting dominated all game until they made a change. And they put Eric Gordon on Anthony Davis. And when they did that, he had 4 points. So when you ask about, like, why I feel like they still have a shot, it's because the way they played phenomenal, right? And I don't think they played.
Lakers did.
I don't think they played their best game, but they did play well, right?
Yep.
But when I look at the game, it's like, okay, if you telling me that if we did this whole over again, right? And you telling me that Jamal Murray, if he's gonna have a bad half like he had, right?
Yeah.
Missing his first like 13 shots, right? And then he gets hot at the end. I'm okay with that part. Because if the role person can take control in the beginning of the game, I want my stars to take over at the end.
Yeah.
I need Anthony Davis to go at Aaron Gordon, right? You was killing Jokic, and then you couldn't score at all when Aaron Gordon got on you. That was the biggest difference. LeBron James, he started closing that game out.
Yep.
I was like, okay, this is a time where our superstar, now that our role players is carrying us, or not because, but they played well, he's going to take over the end. I think if it happens again like this, Anthony Davis has to give me more than 8 points in the second half.
Yeah. Here's my thought, though, Shady.
Just enough, because they won up on one shot.
They did.
If you look back at this game, right, and you have the adjustments, I do think they did made a great adjustment with switching Aaron Gordon on them. I just think that if they come to L.A., right, now you're at home, you have your fans there, your role players are going to play way better.
Yeah.
That's how it works. You win both of these games. You're going to win both of these games. They're going to win both of these games. You take...
I said it's over, but I hope you're right.
Hold on.
Keep going. Let's say it's 2-2. Keep cooking.
You go to Denver, though, right, and you have the same format. Yeah. Like, as last game, as we watched last night, I think it goes different.
But you know what's crazy, though? What's crazy is
everything.
We sitting here talking about the Lakers, right? How well the Lakers played on the road, up 15 in the first game, up 23 in the second game. You make 1 or 2 more plays. It's over because the Nuggets ain't played their best basketball. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're coming back from 23 and 15, and you ain't got the best out of your team yet.
I hate when y'all do this. You act like the Nuggets just say, you know what, we're just playing bad.
I'm not saying.
It happened somewhere. I watched in the first half. I watched Anthony Davis, and I said this yesterday. I said, yo, for them to have a chance, I need the top defensive player that you scream you are, the guard him the whole game. a majority of the game, what did Anthony Davis do?
He did.
Jokic might show you the point, the stat line, right? If you don't watch the game, you say, oh my God, no look question. At the stats.
No, I'm with you.
Anthony Davis holding his own against Jokic.
Both games.
The problem is, at the end,
correct.
Jokic showed back up.
Correct.
And AD
did. But here's my thing, Shady. Nothing that occurred is a surprise. What did we say? What did I say? What did we collectively talk about during yesterday's show? I literally showed y'all the full screen of AD tired in the fourth. Now, y'all said it was because he missed a shot and it was more emotional fatigue than anything else. It's now two games in a row, fam. It's now two games in a row that AD, I believe, we had, maybe it was Stack on one of the shows previously, Steven Jackson, and he mentioned it's hard to put up a lot of shots. Like, it takes energy to shoot that much. There's a reason in my mind that AD didn't shoot all that much. Now, I'm not even mad at AD in the fourth quarter. I'm not, because LeBron was so incredibly calculated the whole game. He played a beautiful game. Mm-hmm. LeBron, you could just see him gauging how much energy do I have to give. Mm-hmm. The whole game, if you watch LeBron, he was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to pace myself. AD, he got it. And D-Lo's hot right now. So LeBron in the fourth quarter said, I'm going to kick and I'm going to sprint. It was like watching Allyson Felix, one of the greatest track runners ever, towards the latter half of her career. She could properly gauge just how much energy she needed to conserve to make sure she could kick at the end and still beat you. That's what LeBron did. He went 5 for 9 in the fourth, had 12 points. He shot 9 of the Lakers' 18 field goals in the fourth, but it still wasn't enough. Joy, I simply believe that every route the Lakers take is a dead end. Mm-hmm. We said AD has the ball. He has two games in a row. We said LeBron is going to take one game. He hasn't. We said D'Lo just needs to get hot. Family, D'Lo started 5 for 5. He made more threes in yesterday's game than he's ever made in a playoff game in his career. That wasn't enough. We said the Nuggets can't win 10 straight. Wasn't enough. Lakers shot 40% from three. Nuggets shot 23% from three. Lakers shot 48% from the field. Nuggets shot 40% from the field. Gosh. Jamal Murray went 9 for 24 from the field, and the Nuggets still won. I don't know what route, Joy, what realistic route will lead the Lakers to success.
The rest of the roster has to show up as well. The role players have to put up more points. They have to hit their shots. They have to hit their threes. It can't just – this is the best team in the league. This is the defending champs. The Lakers are not as good as them. In order for them to beat them, everyone has to show up. That wasn't all I said had to happen. Also, by the way, Anthony Davis was really good, except for the fourth quarter. Where was he in the fourth quarter? He had no points.
He was tired.
That's not acceptable. That's not an acceptable answer.
Is it not, Joy? You've watched enough AD to know, acceptable or not, it is the
what I expect from Anthony Davis and what Anthony Davis is actually going to do might not be the same thing.
Yes, that's
but if we're asking, what's the solution for the Lakers to beat the Nuggets, who are a superior team top to bottom, who are the defending champs, who have the best player in the league right now, who can have a bad game through three quarters and show up and then dominate in the fourth on any given night. Jamal Murray, who can hit that shot, not a surprise at all that he hit that shot, over Anthony Davis, who is one of the top defenders in the league. All of these things we know. So in order for this Lakers team that is not as good as this Nuggets team, I think it's safe to say at this point, they're not. In order for them to beat them, everybody who touches that court has to have their best game for multiple games to win the series. That is a huge ask. It's not an impossible ask. It's been done before in the past in NBA history. But in order for this to happen in this series against this team, that's what's going to be required. So, yes, is it great that D'Lo had the game he had? Yes. Did LeBron pace himself perfectly and show up when he needed to? Yes. Did Anthony Davis have a really good, impressive performance through three quarters? Yes, but he still didn't show up in the fourth. The rest of the role players needed to do more. They have to play a perfect game on top of Denver not playing their perfect game. That's a lot of asks, but that's what you're asking what the formula is. That's what it is, and we didn't watch the formula last night. We think we did because at one point in the game, they were dominating.
I don't know if the formula exists, James. I don't like I hear Joyce saying the formula, but we've all been athletes at this desk. To imagine the Lakers playing all their players playing A-plus mm-hmm. games four times with opponents. Yeah. I just don't know if
Quick question for y'all. As an athlete, you ain't beat somebody 10 times. Do you think this has, like, a mental effect on the Lakers? Because every time we are waiting for the Lakers to deliver in certain situations, they always make the mistakes and the Nuggets always make the plays. Like, do you think at this point 10 straight games, like, it's mental for the Los Angeles Lakers?
I think it matters, and I think I'm the most qualified because I'm the least qualified, at least as it pertains to NFL, on this desk. If Shady beats me 10 times, going up to the 11th, in my head I'm like, of course I got fake confidence. I'm finna get him on this one. Ain't no way he's gonna beat me 11 times in a row. But he could beat me 11. So, like, I think there's some psychology to
it. Right. So my thing is this, right? You talk about confidence, right? When they watch this tape, as a coach, right? Mm-hmm. Ham, he's the coach. And he's like, okay, do you think when he's showing you the good, the bad, and all that, do you feel like, yo, we're defeated, we can't do nothing to beat this team? Or are you saying like, yo, we really had these dudes and we let them off the hook?
Saying that.
Okay, let's reverse it. Malone, right? The head coach of the Nuggets.
Yeah.
When you watch this tape of the first game, do you watch it on the second game? When you tell your team, you like, yo, we showed them, or it's like, woof.
I think Malone's saying, y'all, we haven't even played well yet, and we up 2-0.
I think he's saying,
we didn't even play our best ball, and we up 2-0.
Well, listen, that's cool and all that. When he's going to show the tape of his MVP, the most dominant player in basketball, I think he is, getting shut down, right, by AD. Because we can't allow AD wasn't in his shirt.
AD ball.
I was so surprised to see him guard him so much. I said, he can do it.
That's what we talked about.
My only issue is, if AD gives you that same, not even the same, half of the type of intensity and energy he gave in the first half, in the second half, you keep talking about shooting and scoring. What about just getting some fouls?
The problem.
Right? What about going to the free throw line? Because all he needs to do is get another, what, 6-7 points? That ain't much to ask for.
The reason I'm frustrated with this conversation is because it's like, y'all keep asking for something that we haven't yet seen. Mm-hmm. The one time the Lakers won a championship with AD, we've talked about it extensively. Joy, you and I have been at this network the longest. I've heard you talk about it extensively before being on this show. There was a bubble in which AD had a 4-month break. So the one time we saw AD at his climactic performance on the basketball court, he had 4 months off. I don't think that's coincidence. Then last year, he's routinely injured. Then this year, he plays the most games he's ever played. Last game in the fourth quarter, he's gassed. This game, last game being first game, this game in the fourth quarter, Jokic went to work on him. Shady, you are correct. AD was in his grill for the first 2.5, 3 quarters. But in the fourth quarter, Jokic went to work. Yep. Post move.
That's what all-stars do. MVPs do.
If y'all are continuing to ask AD to do something that he's never shown you the ability to do, his best year, Joy, you talked about it before I ever talked about it. There was a COVID 4-month break. So I'm just like, if y'all keep asking AD to do something, it's like the kids y'all have. Y'all know better than to ask him to do something y'all know he can't do.
Even if he just had the performance he had last night and the role players played up to what they're capable of playing, if they don't go on that stretch where they don't score any points for however many minutes, 10 possessions, if they don't go on that stretch,
6 minutes,
they win this game.
No buckets.
It's not just about, okay, so AD might not show up in the fourth quarter. What about all this other stuff? We're acting like everyone played perfect and AD played perfect except for the fourth quarter, and that was the difference. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. They had a massive lead. They were in control of this game for most of the game. They let it slip away because the Nuggets are a serious team who are going to make a push. And honestly, even if the Nuggets weren't as good as they are, this is the playoffs. The teams are going to make a push at the end of the game. You're going to start slacking off a little bit. They're going to make an adjustment. Somebody's going to get hot. It doesn't mean that they're going to close the lead entirely, but all teams are going to make a push. You know that these are the momentum things that change, especially when they're at home. You have to be perfect. You have to have details.
And I seen that. And I seen that. It was like what she's talking about, I put it in my note, right, for today. They went 6 minutes, and they couldn't score.
Sure.
I said, bro, this is going to be the difference in this game. Because if the Nuggets can't score and then y'all can't score, right, what's the difference?
That's the problem, too,
Nuggets started scoring.
That's the problem, too, though, because the Nuggets did not shoot the basketball well. They were missing a lot of shots. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, now, I got to give credit to Ham. Ham had a nice game plan.
He did.
Right?
Sure.
So when y'all keep saying that, oh, the Nuggets didn't play that well, they didn't play that good, that's like
we're omitting the fact that the Lakers did it to them.
That's what I'm saying. Give them that credit. So my thing is, you build on that.
Sure, but here's...
But it was a lot of wide open shots.
I have two thoughts, because I think what Joy said is true, but the thing is we're also omitting is if the Lakers bench just plays better, they win that game. Assuming the Nuggets play as bad as the Nuggets did, outside of Jokic and MPJ, the Nuggets players went 0 for 20 from 3. 0 for 20. So we're talking about the Lakers bench.
Yeah.
The Nuggets players went 0 for 20 from 3. So assuming the Nuggets don't get better is the other contingency in order for the Lakers to do exactly what they did.
But see, I'm not even saying the Lakers bench got to play better. They play well.
Who's the biggest reason? Who's the biggest reason the Lakers lost?
The two issues I had was when that long period of time when they wasn't scoring, when the Nuggets couldn't score and then y'all couldn't score, that was the issue because the Nuggets started scoring eventually.
Yeah.
That's one of them. And the second one is, I'm going to AD, right?
Fourth quarter, though.
Yeah. Ooh, that hurts me.
I'm being honest, though. Not even the fourth. I'm going to go to second half, right? Because he had a couple of little buckets, whatever. When they made the change and they put Aaron Gordon on Anthony Davis. Yep. You see the big difference.
You got to go to work.
You got to go to work. Now, I was trying to figure out, like, is it because he's more athletic?
They did it to keep AD from going to work, though.
But that's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying, like...
No. He did a great job on AD. What I'm saying is, yo, force the issue. Because all they need is a couple points, extra points. The game came down to the last shot for a reason.
Yep.
Right? Y'all had the big lead. They came all the way back. When you down by so many points, and you got to use all this energy... to score, to catch up, to play good defense, they don't score. That's a lot of energy. Yeah. All we need from Anthony Davis is a couple more buckets, bro.
Let me ask the whole table this,
though. That's crazy.
I remember...
Go ahead. Can't play that good. Just think about this. I have a whole 250 yards rushing.
That's a little crazy.
Give me 200 yards rushing, right? And I give you 150, 160 in the first half. And I really give you anything in a second.
Yeah.
I can't have a great game.
I remember, and James, I got to go with you on this one, though. I remember listening to this one podcast, and it was talking about this couple. And the couple said every time they get home from work, what they ask each other is, what percent are you on? I got 50% of tank. I got 50% of tank. Because their tanks need to hit 100.
Yeah.
And if their tanks ever don't collectively combine for 100, I got 20, I got 80. I got 60, I got 40. I got 50, I got 50. If they don't collectively hit 100, they take a step back and they say, you know what? We got to give each other grace. The reason I have an issue with what you're saying, Shady, is because in the first half, AD said, hey, Bron, I got 80. Bron said, bet, I got 20. Mm. I got 20% for you. Mm. In the second quarter, AD said, hey, Bron, I got 75. Mm. Bron said, bet, I got 25 for you. In the fourth quarter, Bron now has to come up and say, hey, AD, I got 90, because that's what happened. We can't keep blaming, in my mind, we can't keep blaming AD for not showing up in the fourth quarter, because Bron, where were you in the first half? Where were you? Like, AD in the first half have 24 and 11.
That's what I'm saying. No, you're wrong.
Oh.
Because D-Lo, right, carried him.
Balled in the first half.
And my thing is, yo, I was always taught this. Now, obviously, you want your stars to ball out the whole game.
Yes, sir.
But you pay these dudes to be closers.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you carrying us? Cool. You can manage it? Bet. I'm going to close the game because I'm getting paid the most. I'm the big guy.
Yes, sir.
And real quick, I know you're doing this 50s, 50s, and 40s. I get all that. But I was taught this as a young boy. Son, give me more than that. Yeah. You thought you had 80, but you really had 120. Yeah. I need that AD. You a top 75 player.
I need more than 60. But not only that, AD was trying to close the game.
Come on.
Bron was doing what he had to do in the fourth quarter. He just missed that last three to really close the game out. But he was finishing the game.
Sir.
AD, sit back. I got you. You don't need a couple more buckets. He just missed the last three, but that's why I say it's over, because that was the right hook, bro. That was the right hook, and they missed.
Final thought?
I mean, I don't think that was a great game from the Lakers. I think we got ahead of ourselves because they got ahead of the Nuggets.
You up 23, Jordan.
And you blew it. How's that a good game? Shady just said, if he has 200 rushing yards in the first half and he gives you three in the second half and y'all lose.
Game?
I mean, it's a good statistic.
You have 200?
It ain't a closing game.
Shady just said I need more. I
guess, that's look nice.
Let me ask you then, Joy.
23-point lead looks nice.
Joy Taylor, $189 million. And you can't give me 6 points in the fourth, 4 points in the fourth?
Well, I guess realistically.
What matter?
Final question, Joy, and then we'll take it home. I think that was a great game as it pertains to realism.
I do.
Like, realistically, I don't think AD is going to go for 32, plus LeBron go for 26, plus D'Lo go for 23, plus Reeves go for 20, plus Hachimura go for 20, plus Dinwiddie go for 10. D'Lo, you got to take the averages. Yeah. D'Lo went 7 for 11 from 3. So if Austin Reeves went 1 for 4, 1 for 5, collectively they went 8 for 14. Like, that's still the bench averaging out to a good game. I'm not looking at every individual player, because, Joy, if you're asking LeBron, AD, D'Lo to all do that, plus Reeves, plus Hachimura, plus Dinwiddie, plus Prince, I just don't think that's realistic.
It's not going to take a realistic effort to beat the defending champs with the best, most dominant player in the league.
Right.
I don't need realistic. I don't need 80. I need 120 from everybody. I don't need 30 from Dinwiddie. I don't need 25 from Reeves. I need you to hit your shots and play the defense you're supposed to play. I need you to play your role, and I need you to perform and show up every single night, four nights exactly, to be exact. That's probably too much of an ask. It is unrealistic, but it's going to take an unrealistic effort to beat this team and certainly to win the series.
That's very, very,
was
very
talking,
well
I'm
said.
Still sitting here like, how they going to get four done? It's over.
Well, family, what is over is game two for the Sixers, but how it ended was absolutely chaotic. Pure anarchy on the basketball court. But who do you blame for the Sixers' loss? They blew a 5-point lead with 28 seconds. It was chaos. We'll tell you all about it after this commercial break. Don't forget.
Check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM.
You've done what you set out to do. Job done. Brunson, three-pointer. It's good. Hart takes it away. DiVincenzo. Bang! Bang! The Knicks have the lead. The Garden is shaking.
Embiid to tie the game.
No good. And the Knicks hold on and take a 2-0 lead.
One of the most riveting finishes in Knicks playoff history.
Family, the Knicks won a thriller last night over the Sixers. It was an absolutely chaotic game. And now Knicks are up 2-0 over LeSean McCoy Sixers. But, Shady, you watched the game. It was one of the most thrilling playoff games we've seen thus far. And the game after it was just as crazy. So who do you blame for that Sixers collapse? You blow a 5-point lead literally in seconds. Let it out, big dog.
That's how I feel, Shady.
Let it out. Let it out. Let it out, big dog.
Yeah, I was just so mad. I had that mad like you just lost a parlay bet. Mm. I didn't bet this game.
Thank God.
I was just mad. Who do I blame?
Who you blame?
I don't blame the refs, right? I'm tired of hearing about the refs. I blame the coaching.
Mm. Number one.
And I got to blame my boy.
Mm. Players.
Kyle Lowry.
Mm. Or just Kyle one
Lowry.
Player.
Bro, Lowry.
Bro, you 17 years in the league.
Ooh, that's
right? And let me break this down for a second, because I know from playing football, right, how the coaching is in certain situations of a game where the coach, hey, in the huddle, he's going to let us know. Listen, hey, they got two timeouts. We got this. We got to hold on to the ball. Stay in bounds. All these type of things you talk about.
Yep.
So I had to make sure I was cool. I called all my NBA homeboys, right? Yeah. Shout out to all my all-stars that hit y'all up. Thank you for hitting me back. And they say, yo, in these type of situations in a game where it's like, okay, listen, after the timeout, yo, if they score, because they were up, they were down with five or something like that.
Uh-huh.
If they scored, hit a three ball, right? Try to inbound the ball, right? Run this certain play, run that play, the inbound play, wherever we disguise, wherever you do it. Or call a timeout. These things you talk about.
Yeah.
And Kyle Lurie, at this age, right? I think he's a phenomenal player. He's smart. He's tough. Mm-hmm. He's a leader. But the best attribute you have ain't your skill set. You could dribble great or you could score a lot of points. It's just smarts and experience. Mm. Call the timeout. Take your time. Out. We had the boys on the ropes.
Yeah.
We played great defense. And B, even in B being hurt, he's still balling out.
Yeah.
Maxie played phenomenal.
Yes, sir.
So I'm blaming the coaching and I'm blaming the leadership, man.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to say Kyle Lowry individually. Yeah. But I'm saying as a whole, like, you smart to know that. Like, bro, call the timeout. Let's get this thing moving. I'm still hurt.
I'll be very quick because I agree with Shady on it. I blame all of the players. As you were talking, I had to do some math to make sure I'm not tripping. 58 years of experience combined on the court for the Sixers. 58 years. That's only five starters, family.
Yeah.
So on average, each one of those players has played, what, 12, 11 years and change? 58 years. So between Lowry, between Batum, between Harris, between Embiid, between Maxey, someone in that moment has to say, you know what, we're stressed, it's chaotic, call timeout. Now, I'm with Shady. I would lean Lowry because he's a point. Not only is he a point, he's been in the NBA for the longest amount of
17,
time.
17, bro.
But Batum out there, too.
Yeah.
He done played for 16.
Yeah.
Mm. Tobias out there, too. He done played for 13, 14. Embiid out there, too. He done played for 8. Maxey ain't no rookie. He done played for 4. Mm. So between all of those players and all of that NBA experience, in the midst of pure pandemonium, no one realized, you know what? Let's just call a timeout. I blame the players, Joy Taylor.
That's so brutal. I will say, shout out to the Knicks because they played a really tough game. They played all the way through to the ends. They should not have won this game.
No,
it was supposed to be over. And this is what happens when you want it.
Yeah.
And you go and take it. Now, some factors played into that. I do think that the refs needed to get the timeout. The coach is calling the timeout. Nobody can grant a timeout except for the refs. I do think the players should have called a timeout. This is chaotic. You know you're running up and down. You're trying to get the ball in. Call a timeout. I think there's blame enough to go around. And look, the NBA gods decided that it was not your night. I don't think this was a bad game by anybody in particular. I mean, it's going down to the wire, but situational ball matters.
Yeah.
And honestly, when you get into the postseason, situational ball is one of the most important things. We talk about this in the NFL all the time, knowing when to call a timeout, time management, knowing where you're supposed to be, knowing what your assignment is. It's no different here. All of this just sort of fell apart. They should have won this game, but honestly, good on the Knicks. I think it's on the refs. I think it's on the players. I think it's on coaching to get everyone
you,
prepared.
What part of the refs? The lack of foul call or the lack of timeout call?
No. Because I'm not talking about the fouls. I don't want to get into that. I'm with Shady. I don't care about the fouls. Everyone's getting fouled. I don't even want the refs getting involved in this part of the game when it comes to fouls. Like, I know that that doesn't make sense because you should call the game the same way through the entirety of the game, but we know that they don't when it gets down to the wire and you're banging around. But he's calling a timeout.
But the hard part for me, because I went back and rewatched, I'm sure y'all saw the split screen of Nurse calling a timeout when the ball's
Maxie
in play.
Maxie was on the
when
ground.
Nurse was like, he was playing with it, Joy. Like, I was with you. I was like, yo, give him the timeout, especially when I read the quote, Nurse at the podium saying, I don't know what else to do. I called timeout. Then I went back and watched it. I'm like, Nurse, you ain't called no timeout.
Pump faking.
What? He was here with it, and then as soon as Lowry inbounds it, he pulls back from the timeout. Then the ball's on the ground, he's here with it, and then as soon as whoever it was who loses possession, Maxie loses possession, then he tries
to, they need to be more assertive about it. I mean, I understand the complaints because the refs know that there's a chance that a timeout is going to be called in this situation as well. They're not new. So you are looking for these things. It's not like the refs always know that there's a chance it's going to be a timeout call, which is why I don't entirely put it on the refs. Kyle Lowry, honestly, is probably the one to point to because if Nurse is being not fully committal with it, he's the one who has the ball. So certainly the refs are watching.
And another thing is, how you going to call a timeout when he's trying to get the ball in so fast? Yeah. Did you see it? Yeah. Kyle Lowry's trying to get the ball. So they score.
Trying to inbound it quickly.
Grab the ball.
But my thing is,
if the defense is tight.
Yeah, that's when you call the timeout.
And I also remember, though, Joy, because I've had this complaint once before, and the ref was like, look, it ain't my job to find you.
No doubt.
It's your job, coach, to find me.
100%.
So it's like, it ain't the ref's job to be like, Nurse, do you want to call a timeout?
No.
Nurse, you got to.
But your 17-year vet can't call a timeout.
He can once he sees that. But, you know, I played receiver in the National Football League, and that's one reason why I fell in love with basketball. Because when you play receiver, I got to depend on the quarterback to be good.
Yep.
I got to depend on the O-line to be good, pick up, to block. I got to depend on Shady to be good, to pick up these blitzes.
Yep.
And then I have to depend on the quarterback to choose me to throw the ball to. The main reason why I love basketball, go get the dang ball. I tell my kids all the time, you mad they ain't passing? Steal it. Go get a rebound. Don't pass it to nobody. The fourth quarter, game on the line, and I got tape to show you. We want to blame timeouts. Uh-oh. We want to blame coaches.
What are you blaming?
Go get the ball. The shot goes up. You see the big man highlighted right there. Look at these four Sixers. What we doing? We ain't got nobody boxing out. We ain't got nobody jumping off the ground. The Knicks got more hunger than you. Ball kicked out.
Splash.
Game time.
Splash.
You mad? You sitting in there. You got your interviews and all that type stuff. Go get the rebound. And the game is over. That's four Sixers, one Nick, and the Nick gets the ball. Ooh. Open shot. So you want to win? It's the playoffs. Go get the dang rebound, man.
And that's what the Knicks are, though. Knicks is like a scrappy team. If you got to go from star to star, we beat them. Sixers.
No question.
Right? But they got that grit and that heart. They lose their second best player, and you can't even tell the difference.
And not only that, their best player ain't playing well. Brunson been on lock.
That's defense.
That's what I'm saying.
And I hear James, I mean, I can't even argue about that, right? Now, I ain't like him. I ain't goes, he made a great point. I'm going to let him ride. even that point, is like, yo, we had the ball, though. You talking about on defense, right? We mess up, then they hit the tray. I get that. But before that, we had it's us. We winning. Yeah. They scored. What? 28 seconds with 8 points. Come on, man. What is that?
They don't get it if you go get the rebound.
What I'm saying is,
it ain't even no taking the ball out.
No talent, right? No athletic ability.
Yeah, just execute.
Just fundamentals, bro.
Yeah.
Call the timeout. Yeah. Coach, draw the play up. If you watch when they inbound the ball, Max is the only one trying to get the ball. Everybody else is watching.
Yeah.
The defense is tight on him. If you can see, they're watching. Oh, okay, what's going on? Yeah. No. Stop the plays y'all talk about in the huddle. Yeah. I hate, you know this. I just hate bad play. Football or basketball, right? Just I don't care how good you are or how bad you are, right? This bad play, I hate it because I know that y'all talked about this in the huddle.
Yeah. And I know y'all talked about boxing out, too. Shot go up.
That's true. That's true.
Body on the body.
That's true.
Box somebody out. Go get the rebound. It's 4-1. My man going up
now,
getting the rebound.
Come on, man.
Before we leave, though, let's get this straight.
We gonna win this series. I'm gonna win this series.
I'm with you. I hope they do.
Yeah. All right, so y'all know that.
We gonna get to that later. James said he played wide receiver in the National Football League, so let's talk about the National Football League. It's really the biggest offseason event in the NFL, and that is the NFL Draft. Expectations are high for Caleb Williams. They got high hopes, but we will see how he delivers. That's next on Speak. Well, we are just 2 days away. I literally can't believe what I'm telling y'all. We're just 2 days away from the NFL Draft, an event we have all been waiting for. Caleb Williams, the college phenom, will hear his name called number one by the Chicago Bears, and hopefully he can change the trajectory of that franchise. He said, quote, I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12, meaning Aaron Rodgers. Kidding.
Yeah. Chase. You kidding too much.
I didn't take that as a joke. Everybody,
relax. See how excited he got? Excited.
Relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
He was on to something, bro.
That's his favorite player.
It is. It is. Caleb Williams, he's that dude. He's that special. He is an absolute phenom. He will go number one, Joy Taylor, to the Chicago Bears. But do you expect Caleb to live up to the hype in his first season?
I expect him to live up to my hype.
Oh, the Taylor hype.
Okay. Taylor hype, yes.
What is the Taylor hype?
Dr. Taylor hype.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm dialing back a little bit. Okay? Like we've gotten Hall of Fame. Wait, you weren't here for the Hall of Fame conversation, Shay.
I'm saying, my rookie year on Speak,
did I exceed your...
You exceeded
the hype, yes.
Okay,
oh.
Taylor hype?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
All right,
let's do the hype train.
Noted.
4,000 yards. Increase the Bears' wins from last year, from 2023. Look competent running the offense. Look like he can adjust to the NFL quickly and win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think that's more than appropriate.
I like that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I think that's very reasonable.
I like that.
We don't have to worry about Hall of Fame expectations.
Nope.
We don't have to worry about winning a playoff game. Mm. We don't even have to worry about making the playoffs. Mm. Justin Fields last year had a 5-8 record. Mm. C.J. Stroud, 9-6. What if the Bears win 8 games? Yeah. I realize the Bears won 7. What if they win 8 games, but they look really good? He has a 4,000-yard passing season, more than 4,000 yards, which has never happened in the history of that organization. C.J. Stroud had 4,108 passing yards. C.J. Stroud had an incredible year last year, right? Mm-hmm. We love it. Mm-hmm. We love it. 4,108 passing yards. He had 23 passing touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That is all within, those are doable numbers to me. For Justin Fields, with what they've put around him.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry, for Caleb Williams. What they put around him, what they're building on from last year, mm-hmm. what he is capable of, the hype that he's coming into the league with, what we've seen from him in college, I think all of that is completely doable. Very reasonable.
Yeah, it is.
Real quick, I'm going to let you guys want the grade system, though, because she showed her, can I make one circle? Mm-hmm. Like, one circle, because you know, like, you get a wrong. You don't get it wrong.
It's too much?
You don't get it wrong. They just give you some insight.
Did you think it's too much?
I think the 4 stacks, I mean, it's never been done as a Bear. So as a rookie, you expect, you know, that's the only thing I'm saying. It's never been done in a franchise.
I would hear you, but I do think because, and yes, it is 150 years.
You know what I'm saying?
It's never happened.
Rookie first year.
Okay. It's Hobson, not 150, that's 105 years. It's
easy.
If he gets close, it's okay for me. Yeah. All right?
That's
an X, but I'm he's like 38, 39, that's okay for
it's
me.
It's going to be broken easily if he's healthy.
I actually think that is a stretch for me. That is the thing that is the most 4K? Unrealistic to me.
No,
because it hasn't been done in Chicago, right. Because C.J. Stroud had such an incredible season and he had 4,108 passing yards.
Right.
So I do think that is the most extreme check mark for me.
I think that's the easiest one. Because coming out of college, we think that he's a way better passer than C.J. Stroud, right? Just coming out of college. Obviously, C.J. has showed us to do it in the National Football League. But it's going to be two things going to happen for the Bears. Either you're going to be getting beat down in these games, and you got to throw. Or you either going to be winning some of these games, and they're going to be winning because the young fella is throwing. I think the 4,000 yards is going to be easy for him, especially with what he has.
Here's my thought process, though, is, Joy, when I see that list, which I do think is a very fair list, I ask myself, Caleb's special.
Yes.
He's very special. He's more special than most quarterbacks we've ever seen and any quarterback we've seen recently. I think that list is fair for Kyler. I think that list is fair for Trevor. I think that list would have been fair for Burrow. But when you're talking about a talent as special as Caleb, I need to see somebody on that. I need to see something on that list that I couldn't have seen for Herbert.
What? So makes Caleb different than Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence? Let's take Kyler out of it, because Kyler was not considered to be.
So I think that for then both of them, one, mobility. One, Caleb, I think, is a 4.48 kind of guy. So just off rip, I think just his mobility. Second, I think Caleb's ability to throw off platform, right? We don't really see ever Burrow sidearm, Burrow 1 foot, Burrow. Like, Burrow has it, but I think that aspect. When I think about, like, Caleb, I'm asking myself, but Herbert threw for 4,000 as a rookie. CJ threw for 4,000 as a rookie. I need to see Caleb do something that lived up to the supposed to win back-to-back Heisman hype. I need to see Caleb do something that lives up to the generational talent.
This is just all... this is why I keep pushing back on this. We cannot just act like we didn't just talk about Trevor Lawrence like this. We did. We did talk about Trevor Lawrence like this. Like, Trevor Lawrence has been in the league for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, this just happened. I understand we're excited about Caleb Williams, and I am too. But Trevor Lawrence was one of the most celebrated college players entering the NFL draft. We tried to change the rules so he could leave college. They were really having conversations like, should we change the rules so Trevor Lawrence can leave college after his freshman year?
Yeah.
We were not talking about Caleb Williams like that. So I just push back on the idea that Caleb Williams, because we're very excited and we should be, that somehow this is a phenom that we've never talked about anybody like this. Yes, we have.
Not talked about. I don't think we've seen.
So
I don't think we've seen anybody.
So my question to you is, what if you see all those throws and it's not 4,000? Like, because we're going to see that. We're going to see the off-platform throws. We're going to see this young fella look special. But what if it don't add up to the 4,000? Like,
the me, it's not about what it is. It's about the expectation. That's the conversation for you, is expectation. I expect it because the list of 4,000, increased win total, win offensive rookie of the year, that's a good list for any number one overall pick. But not a generational number one overall pick. A generational number one overall pick, I want to see generational shady accomplishments.
I don't judge rookies like that, right? So when I looked at Joy's list, I liked it. But 4,000 for me, that's tough, right? It's never been done in franchise. You want the rookie to do it. But this is where I push back on you, is that you act like if a player is hyped up and all this potential, that he's supposed to go out here in his first year and do all this and do all that. I don't believe that. I believe when we talk about a guy like Caleb Williams and all these special players, it's the potential that they have. Yo, I feel like his ceiling is going to be up here when he's at his peak and he's at his prime, he's going to be this and that and the third. I'm not saying it's supposed to be right now. Like Josh Allen. I was there from his rookie year.
But Shady.
We're not about to act like this. Caleb's way better than Josh.
Coming out of college, it was apples to,
see, that's,
to walnuts.
See, I don't do all that, right? You know why? Because, and this is just my opinion. I'm not saying no more than everybody else, but I played a game at a high level, and I could see different things, and it takes time. I thought I was a phenomenal player. People who play against me, they would tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't that my first year. I wasn't that as my first year. But hold on, let me finish. I look at a guy like Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how good you think he is, but I think he was really, 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 really good. But his first year, you couldn't tell him that. He had to learn to go through and learn. Patrick Mahomes, yo, was a phenomenal player. Second, his first year starting, he was a phenomenal. When I talk to players that play over there with him, like Tyreek Hill, he talks about it openly. He said, yeah, we drafted him in the first round. We just never get to see him play because he had to sit behind Alex Smith. So all I'm saying is I can't grade a rookie like that until he played and learns. All that stuff he's doing in college is phenomenal, but it's going to be different. You ain't going to be able to just run back there and do this and do that in the third. It's not going to happen like that. And the last point I'm going to say is this to you, Acho. When you talk about potential and all the talent and the generational talent that we see, I believe that. I'm just not sure it's going to be in the first year. Trevor Lawrence, like Joy talked about, everybody was hyping him up. I didn't. When I watch him, he's a good player around great talent.
Yeah.
You look at him now, you see the same thing. Good player with some good talent around him. So let the young boy grow. Let him, because he's going to have to learn a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Some good, some bad, right? How to get better, how to read. I don't know how well he reads.
Yeah.
When I see a quarterback that takes too long with the ball holding and doing his special plays, one point is like, yo, man, he's super talented. He can make plays off script. Yeah. The other part is, yo, can he read that well? Yeah. We don't know. C.J. Stroud, my last point. I didn't know how well he read. I'm like, man, you got Ohio State. I can't name not one quarterback from Ohio State that's bad in college because they're all good. They throw these little narrow screens. They run the ball. They got the best tackles, the best defense, the best secondary, the best offensive wide receivers. They have everything. Running backs, you name it. So I don't know how good C.J. Stroud was going to be. I thought he had some talent. Now when I watch him, I say, oh, wow, this kid is smart. This kid can read. He's good. So my thing is let the young boy grow.
Yeah, we need more people like you, Shady. You know what I'm saying? Because to not worry about the rookie year. Because it's not people out there like that.
I disagree.
They're not going to do that with this young fella. If this young fella comes out there and he doesn't look like the generational talent that everybody thinks he is coming out of college, they finna get him. Especially because he has all pro talent around him. whether it's Keenan Allen, whether it's DJ Moore, whether it's Swift, whoever it may be, he has that type of talent around him. So I think that's why expectations is up there too, because he's not coming into a terrible situation and we're expecting him to just make every throw and make everybody better. He's coming into a really good situation with really good pieces around him. I'm not saying you got to go to the playoffs and do all this, but I'm just saying Herbert threw for 4,000 yards because number one, his team was sorry. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they were down in a lot of football games and a young fella was throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game. You're going to have them type stats. That's why I say I think this is going to be easy, because if they're going to win, it's going to be because of him throwing the football and getting the ball out to these playmakers. And if they losing in a lot of games, he's going to have to.
So, lastly, because you got a point. I mean, Herbert's a phenomenal point, right? You look at his stats as a rookie in the first 3 years, it's great. Yeah. He's still stuck in the same spot, right?
No doubt.
He always had talent. Yeah. I don't see no growth. But I won't even do that to Herbert. My thing is, when you ever see a quarterback play off on this rookie year, right, and highly hyped up and all that, and then he never gets a shot again. I mean,
I'm not saying he's not going to get a shot.
You just said if he don't do well, they're going to come after him.
The media and everybody is going. I'm just saying, like, people are not going to have grace. Like, it's his rookie year. They're going to get on him. They're going to say, but is he the answers? Those are going to be the questions.
That's what I've been saying this whole time. Like, the idea that he should be expected to go in there and get to, you should expect them to go to the playoffs. Why? Why? Because on top of that, you're expecting the other two teams in this very tough division to take a significant step back. Yeah. The Lions take a significant step back. The Packers take a significant step back. Yes, C.J. Stroud went to and won a playoff game this year. Look at how they made the playoffs. Yeah. Jacksonville had to fall off the face of the planet. Literally completely dissolve in order for them to have the opportunity to do that. And that's not taking anything away from them, because they played well enough down the stretch to be able to take that. And C.J. had an incredible rookie year, and so did D'Amico Ryans, and they deserve the praise that they're getting for that. But the point of the matter is what the expectations should be for him is really all in that, the stats and all that. He should look like he did in college. If he looks like that, it doesn't matter to me if they're winning games. It doesn't matter to me how many stats he's putting up. It does that all of that stuff, this is all on paper.
Yeah.
Like Shady said, they haven't had a pass or throw for more than 4,000 yards in the history of the Chicago Bears, which is a cornerstone franchise in the league. I think I'm being nice. Like, I think my highest expectation is the 4,000 yards. I expect big things from Caleb Williams, but he's a rookie. It is no reflection whatsoever of what he's capable of in this league if he doesn't win a playoff game with the Bears in year one.
I agree with that. If he doesn't win in year one, I don't think it's condemning him or an indictment.
No.
But I do think, given what he has himself and given what the Bears have given him, and I don't think the gap between the Bears and their opponents in their division is that large. James, obviously, you watch the Packers games intently. The last time they played, it was 17-9. Mm-hmm. They beat the Detroit Lions one game, and then I think they lost to Detroit 31-26. Yeah. So, and that was with Justin Fields as a starter amongst the backup, whose name has forgotten me right now. Tyson Bagent. I don't think the gap is so substantial that Keenan, Swift, and Caleb.
Moore.
Yeah. DJ was there last year.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, I guess I'm just torn, because if I was talking about Baker Mayfield, I'll chill. I'm talking about Baker, go out there, improve on the win-loss column. Baker, go out there. But because I'm talking about Caleb, that's where I'm like, it's got to be.
But it's still a different sport.
I don't subscribe to that. I know you
it
do. I think James does.
It is a literally different sport. Everyone on that field, when Caleb's running around doing all that stuff, you know who's chasing after him now?
Mm. Yeah, I was there.
Let's list some names. There. Who's running after him now? They're a little bit faster. Yeah. They're a little bit stronger.
But
they got a little more meat
when
here.
When you say different, I just think it's an elevated level of the sport.
Of course,
I don't think it's a different sport.
It is
sport.
A different sport. There are professionals and they are amateurs.
But I don't. It's like,
I'm not saying it's not football. I'm saying that professional athletes are built different than what he's going against in college.
I agree.
The speed is faster. You know this. You played. Speed. Yeah. Intelligence. Understanding of the game. Anticipation. Strength. Continuity with other teams and units. The defenses that he's going against. All of those things matter. He is a rookie in the NFL.
I guess in my experience, everybody's experience is different. In my experience, it depends on where you played and how you played. Mm-hmm. Because I know some cats who played at lower level ball, who didn't necessarily play at high level D1, and they got to the league and it was like, oh, snap. But when I was at Texas, I played against Oklahoma. So I had to play against Trent Williams. Yeah. And I had to play against Jermaine Gresham. And I had to play against DeMarco Murray. And I had to play against Ryan Broyles. And I had to play against Sam Bradford. So when I got to the league, and I had to play against DeMarco Murray. And I had to play against Trent Williams. I had to play against
Jermaine Gresham. Yeah, but then you had to play against everyone else who's next to DeMarco Murray, who is almost as good as DeMarco Murray.
I'm giving you my experience. My experience is the learning curve, depending upon where you play, yeah, and depending on how you play, it's just, and depending on who you play for, yeah,
bro, he's
too.
He is playing quarterback.
Yeah.
And not to say your experience ain't wrong or right, because everybody is entitled to what they feel like, but he ain't no linebacker. No. He ain't no wide receiver. He ain't no running back. He a quarterback. I'm the main guy, right? And I don't know what he learned in college. I don't know that. I can't speak on that. This is the league. And I don't know. Maybe a transition was easier than most. But the league is hard.
And then
when you have that talent, they expect so much from you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think because he's this great passer, which he is,
yeah,
I don't think the first thing coach will say, yo, we're going to throw this ball a lot.
No doubt.
Yeah, rookie quarterback. Right? So I think they're going to run the ball enough. That's why they went out there and got a guy like Swift. We're going to run this ball, too. I just feel like when you have a player like him, it's like in the hype. We want to make it like he got to go out there and ball. And the league is hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard,
it is,
dog.
It is.
I might have made it look easy. I know, but that's hard.
But not only that, I think it's just, what's your expectations for Caleb Williams? I think that everybody's expectations is different, right? Because what we've seen in college, we've seen this dude be a generational quarterback. We talk about him like he's the greatest college football quarterback ever. That's how some people talk about him. That's some people's opinion on Caleb
Williams.
He's
nice.
So coming into the National Football League is just the expectation. So something that Michael Penix can do, he can't do because the expectations is way up there. Something Marvin Harrison Jr. can do, some of these other receivers can't do just because the expectations.
But realistically,
it is, though, because
of
what he showed
us. I feel like some dudes do, especially now, go in and make it look easy.
Yes.
Like Lamar Jackson went in his rookie year, he made it look easy. Joe Burrow went in his rookie year.
Until when?
He didn't start until game 10.
But then when he's rolling.
He went 6-0.
And then they got no playoffs.
Yeah, then he got Titans.
Playoffs, he looked like, I couldn't. Did you see how he looked?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But I'm saying, right, he went in, bomb. Joe Burrow went in, 400 yards. Now, the roster was not set. They were 2-7-1, if I'm not mistaken. But I think he threw for 400 yards twice. I don't think that had ever been done by a rookie in the NFL before. He went in, he made it. Herbert, he went in there. Tyrod Taylor got stabbed in the chest.
If they go 2-7-1, what are we going to say?
He got stabbed in the chest. That'd be atrocious.
Hold on.
And then what happens when Caleb Williams has a season like Joe Burrow happened in his second year?
He lived up to the hype.
Okay, that's my point. Uh-huh. If you went off of what Joe Burrow did just statistically, just team wins in his rookie season, it would have been a complete bust.
But
and
I think
then he went to the Super Bowl his next year.
I think context is everything, because James, that's why I disagree. My final point is, we didn't krill Bryce Young because we looked at the Panthers and said, we know what.
Nah, he a rookie. I don't judge hard, but I don't judge no reason.
The Panthers were so bad as Bryce was, the Panthers were so bad, we were kind of like, Trevor Lawrence. It was such a dysfunctional coaching situation there that we said, you know what, Trev? We just going to turn a blind eye to that. But because we're looking at the Bears, and like James, I agree, that roster is stacked, and defensively, Matt Eberflus is taking care of the defense. That's why my expectations, too.
So
he has no
role.
He has no role. Let me ask you this question, though, right? You think he's super talented, generational,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and he gets in the NFL, and you don't see it right away, right? You might be a little small, a little flashy, but he ain't balling like you thought he would ball. So do you still change? Like, he's not generational no more? You get what I'm saying? He's a rookie.
You got to give him time.
Come on, he's a rookie.
But I just, like, and I like what the Bears have done. I do. But it's still on paper. Mm-hmm. Everyone keeps talking about how close they were in all these games. So close counts in college and what? Calls? Like, this is
for the bookies.
Exactly. What does close mean? They were competitive. Like, we thought of the Bears as a competitive team last year.
No, I'm just saying I saw them beat the Lions, and because I saw them beat
the
Lions,
NFL team, they won games. Okay, yes. But what I'm saying is, you felt like the Lions, Packers, and Bears were close.
No, but I don't think the Lions and the Bears were close. I do not think the Packers and Bears are as substantial a gap as we all saw. Because
you and I just fundamentally disagree about
beat
that. I watched the Packers
something.
Whoop on the Dallas game. Cowboys with
35-7.
Yeah, 17-9. Last game of the season, Bears played the Packers.
Again, this is the NFL.
Correct. So I don't know. I don't think we're saying that much different. I'm saying I don't think the gap between the Bears and the Packers is that large.
I do.
We gonna see.
It's a new team, too.
It's a new team. Last year, it was not close. Last year, it wasn't close. Because the Bears were at home and the Packers were beating the Cowboys.
8-point game when they played.
It's not college.
When we return, Jamal Murray, he broke the heart of the Lakers fans last night. So have the fans lost all hope? Should they lose all hope? That's next on Speak.
You think I made that shot right there?
Probably. The Lakers gave their fans a lot of confidence in the second half with a 20-point lead. But that lead went away, and Jamal Murray closed the door with a game-winning jumper. Denver now up 2-0 in the series, which means they head to L.A. for Game 3 on Thursday. James Jones, you had the Lakers winning in six, so I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this one. Should Lakers fans still have hope?
You're reminding the people.
You in L.A., so you better watch your mouth.
You're reminding the people, no, they should not have no hope. There is no hope. Like I say, I felt like they threw their best punch, man. They threw their right hook. I felt like LeBron played well. AD played well. Yeah, we can ask for one or two more buckets from them boys, but D-Lo played well. I felt like this was a really good team game for them and not a really good team game for the Nuggets, and they still found a way to win this thing. That is 10 games in a row. Not one, not two, not three. Not four, but we're talking about 10 of these things in a row. First game, you up 15, you let that lead go. Second game, you up 20, you let that lead go. It is no more hope. 10 times in a row, and then you blow two double-digit leads in the playoffs, and your two best players play really, really well, and then you get a really good game from D-Lo in the second game. It ain't no hope, man. As I keep talking, 5 games left, and you got to win 4, and you done lost 10 in a row. The hope gone. It's over.
It's over. Joy Taylor, should Lakers fans still have hope?
No.
Not bad, James. You just feel this way because you picked up at 6. You didn't feel so down.
Georgia, how confident you feel with 5 games left they're going to win 4, Georgia?
I feel 11% confident. That's what I feel.
That's zero hope.
11%. That's how percentage of teams that go down 0-2 and go on to win the series. Now, what if I told you that LeBron has done that 3 times? No?
He my age.
I don't know how much he got left in him, though.
This is true, but you know that those are the numbers. I can't argue with them. I can't say no. They're going back.
What's
home.
LeBron's numbers?
He's come back from down 0-2 3 times. He did it in 2007, 2016, 2018.
And how long he been in the league? 20.
Long time.
Yeah, them ain't good odds neither.
I mean, he's normally like
he up and he favorite.
Yeah, he's not on the road. Thanks for clarifying, because I know how you thinking.
Look, it's not looking good, okay? I think that the Nuggets are going to win the series. I always felt the Nuggets were going to win the series. But I didn't think that they didn't have a chance, and I still think that they have hope. Listen, what do the Nuggets do?
Joy.
Defend their home court? They won game one, which they're supposed to do.
They did.
And then they are the best team in the league with the best player in the league, so they're going to fight back. And you didn't close the game out. They did. All right, so you did what you're supposed to do. Win the games at home. Now you're going back to crypto.
Yeah.
Win the next game, and then we have a completely different conversation. How are you going to feel? You're going to feel silly when you come in here and they are in the series is 2-1.
Trust me, if they win in 6, I'm going to say I told you so.
You got to stay 10 toes down.
2-5, should Lakers fans still have hope?
They should have hope, right? I just think that if you really watch the game and you go in the locker room, yeah, you're heartbroken from a last shot game winner buzzer type of thing, yeah. But if you watch that tape and you really, one thing about watching the tape is it's never as bad as you thought.
It's never as good as you thought.
And I'm okay with that. I'll take this same scenario from last game. Only difference is I'm going to need my star, my top 75 player to give me more than what, 2 points in the fourth quarter? He had one shot out to him in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That's another, like, bro, I asked you to go out there and save the day because the role players did enough in the first half, right, to keep you up to this point. The Cruz, LeBron started closing the show out.
Yeah.
AD, you got to help him out. You play phenomenal defense on Jokic early in the game. When Jokic turned it on, you should have turned it back on. I only needed, but give me 4 shot attempts, Acho. Give me some free throws. Give me something. And I think they win this game.
Yeah.
Going forward, they should be even more confident. Because you talked about taking their best shot. They take a nice right.
Yeah.
They didn't take no Ryan Garcia left hook, though. If they take that, then it's over. They didn't take that. They got some life left to play.
This is the only thing I'm saying, because you played the game at a very high level.
That's what they say, James. That's what they tell me, though, dog.
As NFL players, we watch film of preseason, We watch film of regular season.
I don't watch preseason.
And we watch, when the regular season start, we watch film every game after
that. I don't watch preseason.
Okay, so forget the preseason. You watch 16 to 17 regular season games.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers have watched film on one loss, two loss.
How many?
Three loss.
Is it four?
Four loss.
Is it five?
Five loss.
Couldn't have been six.
Six loss.
Seven had to stop.
Seven loss.
Wait, it was eight.
Eight loss.
You're lying to me about nine.
Nine loss.
How many?
Ten loss. They have watched film on all of them.
Well, he got me there.
Can you James, here's the worst part about that, though.
Yeah, yo. You got me right there, bro.
The worst part is,
yeah,
like,
you got me right there, bro. Hey, call timeout, man. I feel like Devin Haney. He got me. I can't even say that back.
I ain't no role, bro. The thing is, after all of them losses, you really think you're going
to
win? You really think.
You
don't think you're going
to
win? But the hard part is, though, like, Joy, there comes a point where you stop believing your coach. We've all been in that situation.
Yeah, I've been there.
There comes a point where you stop believing your coach.
Man.
Your coach is saying something, and it's like, but coach, we did what you said last time. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. Wait, we did what you said this time. It didn't work. There comes a point where you stop believing your parents.
These are grown men professionals. This is LeBron James.
Correct. I'm saying even as grown men professionals.
Yeah. Like coach, you start texting? Oh, man.
That ain't going to work.
He's walking away from this game talking about how Darvin Ham didn't do a good job here.
No.
He did a phenomenal job.
So I hear you. But, like,
so
I don't think anybody.
His best wasn't good enough neither?
That part.
But I don't think this was everyone's best. How could it be everyone's best if Anthony Davis had no points in the fourth quarter? That's your best?
The question for me is, what do I have? Like, what do you have hope in? If you go to the doctor's office and you sick, he ain't just say, you gonna feel better because you is. No. Tell me why. You gonna feel better, Shady. Joy, you gonna feel better. Just trust me. You gonna feel better because you will.
Tom Hills.
Like, I need a reason.
Okay, so real quick, right? So we talk about how Jamal Murray had a phenomenal shot, the game winner, right?
Winner.
Yeah. But before that, right?
Terrible.
Start the game off terrible.
Yes.
That wasn't because he's had an off night. It was
some
really, really good defense. Jokic, you're going to look at his stats. He's going to tell you all these triple doubles and all that. If you watch that game, AD was holding his own in there.
Yes, sir.
In the beginning of the game.
Game one and two.
Or first half. So I'm okay with that. I can live with that. When you talk about building confidence and all that, right? Now, granted, it's hard to go against 10 losses. But when you start pulling back the layers and really looking at the game and really dissecting it, you will love how they defended Murray. You will love how they defended the pick and roll. You will love that.
But Shady, hold on. Because LeBron says something at the end of the game, I think, that summarizes this whole conversation. Bronny did. The reporter said, he said, you know, LeBron, do you leave this game more confident realizing that that game plan, it worked? And he very somberly said, every game's a different game.
Yeah.
He says, so what we did in this game didn't work, it might not work in game three.
Yeah.
And what we did in game one didn't work. He said every game is literally a game within itself. Mm-hmm. So to think that just because we played him close in game two means we're gonna play him close in game three, he's like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm not gonna lie to myself. Every game is a different
game. And that's why I agree with what Kenny Smith said on the show, too. He's like, the Lakers in these 10 losses have tried everything.
Everything.
We're going to put Bron and AD on the pick and roll.
Yep.
We're going to double Murray off the pick and roll. Make
thing.
Him give it up. Like, it's so much
it
they have done.
23 points.
And,
man, I ain't trying to hear
and
that.
They still lost, though. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Shady, the Sixers were only up 5 points with 20-plus seconds.
We're going to beat them.
Amazing.
Hey, by the way, my dad, Mr. McCoy, y'all will not win. He just texted me. You're wrong again, son.
Are we concerned about Embiid's comments after the game? Should the Sixers still have confidence? And are we embarrassed by what Embiid had to say? That's next on Speak.
He keep texting me.
Sixers had a 5-point lead with under 30 seconds left. But get this, they didn't win. The Knicks, they knocked down 2 3-pointers. Tyrese Maxey appeared to be fouled, but you see it right there. Louses. Knicks celebrating with the go-ahead 3-pointer. They go up 2-0. But Joel Embiid, he's a man who has a plan, I think. Take a listen.
Everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself included, Nico, coach on the sideline. But that didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, like I said, that's unacceptable. We're good. We're going to win this series. You know, we're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
I'm tired of his lies. Shady, I'm tired of the lies. In 2014, Joel Embiid showed up in Philadelphia. He said, trust the process. That's what he told us. What he told you.
Yeah.
What he told me. I was in Philadelphia at the time. You were in Philadelphia. Trust the process, he said. Been about 8-9 years, and we still trusting this process.
I am. I'm still.
He told us that they're going to win. He told us they're the better team. He told us the series is not over. I'm tired of MB's lies. I won't speak for Shady. I'll allow Shady to speak. But I know this much. I'm done believing what Embiid has to say about basketball, because if I still did, I'd still be trusting a process. 2-5, you have an issue with Embiid's comments?
This is so negative, don't you think? Yes, I'm still trusting the process. We're still in the process. Process ain't over yet. Listen.
They until you win a championship.
I don't have an issue with what he's saying, right? Because you've been there. After the game you lost, you might have missed a tackle or maybe your boy missed a tackle, right? And we lose the game. It happens. And after the interview comes and in your face, asking all these questions, you mad. You say whatever you feel. But aside from that part, I think we should have did a better job of the coaching, right? When you're in the huddle, you call a timeout. I know you went over these scenarios. You talk about over all the time, over and over again. A veteran like Kyle Larry, 17 years in the NBA, you known for having great defense, being a smart player. We should have called a timeout, but we didn't. I'll just say this. We're going to win this series. I think we are a better team. I think we have more talent. I think from the top to the bottom, we have better superstars. We got to get that dog, though. We need to see that Philly pride. We need to see that eye of a tiger, right? We need to see that whole, what's his name, my man?
Rocky
Balboa. And when we get to Philadelphia, they start hitting the bell. And you're going to see a Joel Embiid doing this, trusting the process. So the Knicks, they won for full court. They did it. Home court advantage, they did what they had to do. See if they keep doing it. Trust that process.
Joy Taylor, issue with Embiid's comment.
Trust that process.
No, as it turns out, he's right. And, you know, there were some fouls. I don't really care much about it. It's done now. And refs aren't going to call those in that moment anyway. I don't know if everyone was trying to call a timeout. I think Nick Nurse was trying to call a timeout, and Lowry should have called a timeout. Ah! It was bad situational basketball. And look, the Knicks wanted it. The Knicks wanted it more.
They did.
And they
did.
Took it. And they deserved that game, just like the Nuggets deserved the game against the Lakers. The end of the game matters. Show up. Do what you need to do. Take advantage of the moments that are provided in front of you. They're playoff teams, and they did what they were supposed to do.
I just know when you go like this and you're talking, you pissed off.
That game was a one game. It's not even like comparable to the Lakers situation. This game was won.
When we return, we'll see if the Suns can win a game. Kevin Durant, he's got a big one tonight. All the pressure is on the Suns. Book, Beal, etc. But does it all fall on the shoulders of KD? That's next on the beat.
Big one tonight.
Kevin Durant, he scored 31 in game one, family. It was only on 17 shots, but it was not nearly enough. They got blown out by 25 points against the T-Wolves, and Ant-Man put on an absolute show. KD and the Suns now down 1-0 in the series. Game two is tonight. Joy Taylor, is all the pressure on Kevin Durant?
No, I think all the pressure is on Devin Booker.
I like that.
And 18 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and a turnover. Was 5 for 16 in game one. He's going to need a bigger performance. Yeah. They are an extremely top-heavy team. Talent at the top. That talent has to show up. Look, this is a young, hungry, good Timberwolves team with a star. Yep. You are not going to be able to do those performances and win this series. And the Suns need to win this series. So that's going to be on Booker. KD did what he was supposed to do. Obviously, everyone could be better because you lost. And you lost badly. But I think there was more pressure on Booker tonight.
Yeah, KD had 31. Like Tyrese say, what else do you want from me? Like, KD did what he had to do. Book, you 5 for 16. Bradley Beal, where you at? Nurkic, 4 rebounds? In the whole game, 4 quarters. So you had 1 rebound a quarter. You out there to rebound. Get these people the ball. Book, come on. You not D-Lo. You an all-star. Like, these is all-star players. Like, come on now. You got to come out here, deliver, and help KD. If he don't, they're going to be down 0-2.
Acho. What do you want from me? Yo, that was crazy. Saka, I was not holding it in, though. That Tyrese bar, that was a bar. That's your best day today. You had coffee today? He had Wheaties. He had all that today.
Oh, that was funny, though. James Bennett is back. From Tyrese to Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill versus Deion Sanders. They got a race coming up. Something about something. I don't know. They have something. Something. Something in between Tyreek Hill and Deion Sanders. Green map.
Yo, Russell, you up for me?
Tyreek Hill had this to say about former Hall of Famer Deion Sanders. This is a fun one, family. He said, I'm putting 175 yards on Deion. Easy, 175. 2 touchdowns. Prime was a GOAT, though, but you got to understand, they played a lot of man-to-man back in the day. I'm quicker, more agile. He is quicker. He is more agile. Those two things are true. You're not putting $1.75 on Deion.
Hey, he didn't say faster, though.
No.
You smart man.
You gonna get, he going to have 85 on 7 catches. Maybe a touchdown.
1.75 is a lot.
1.75.
I can't see that.
1.75 is
great. He's just as fast as you, and he's 6'1 and a half.
1.75 is a whole lot.
That's crazy.
I would have dialed that back a little bit.
Y'all think a buck?
I'm a rank.
Well, we'll say this, though. Don't we think that Tyreek is – where do you rank Tyreek all time as a receiver?
He's top 5 in my opinion.
All time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dead or alive? Yes. Yes. I can't end him. I like him.
That's true, but that's a different question than where is he all time?
Well, I mean, no, because
I'm saying top seven, top five, top ten.
Deion is top of all time.
I'm just saying.
And Tyreek is top all time. Most people feel.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying 1.75, but
I'm just saying one-on-one. Press man-to-man coverage. You're not outrunning him.
Nope.
He's bigger and longer and all that thing. It's going to be tough on you to get 175. Oh, I give him about 80.
Can you give us a pause?
Pause, pause, pause.